latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Tickets to the Belmont Stakes Racing Festival are on sale now. New York's premier three-day racing festival returns to historic Belmont Park June 6th through 8th. Buy tickets today and enjoy trackside reserve seats or enhance your experience with one of our premium hospitality packages to make this an unforgettable event. Grandstand admission starts at $15 and three-day festival passes are also available. Buy now at Ticketmaster.com or visit BelmontStakes.com. The Belmont Stakes, where champions are crowned.
Amazing achievements for Pennsylvania breeds on the world stage. Thanks to Finest City, Unique Bella, and Shamrock Rose, PA joins Kentucky as the only state in the past decade to breed Eclipse Award champions three straight years. Add that to our unmatched incentives. Plus, our racehorse development fund can only be used to support PA breeding and racing. Why breed anywhere else? This is Brian Sanfratello. Go to PABred.com and see why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race.
Porchbills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Porchbills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Porchbills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Porchbills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Hey, you! Come out here on the floor.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Come out of here on the floor. Honey, let's rock some more, yeah. Now, when you get out here, don't you have no fear. Put your hands on your hip and let your backbone slip and work out.
We're back.
Mr. Excitement, the great Jackie Wilson. And we're going to go to another great. It's a tradition like no other in radio. There's probably a few traditions in radio that that may have run longer and have had, you know, I don't know, maybe more history to them. But for us, for our purposes, there's nothing better than Preakness Week with Leon Blushewicz. Blue joins us, and Blue, good morning.
Steve, I'm over here at Timonium. The filly I bred worked 21-3, galloped out in 34-2. She's hit 296.
Nice.
She's a half sister to Cold Front, and she's a half to a horse that went over in England the other day for Michael Stout. You know, a colt over there by Noble Mission went over there, beat two horses by. Darley had one by Dubawi, and the other horse, I mean, that Gosman had was by Frankel. So she's a half brother to three nice horses.
Look at you.
96. Have you got the hit? Have you got the book over there?
I don't have the book, but I've got the catalog online.
And you see that? Well, Michael Stapp, they think this is a top Colt over there. He's just coming to himself. I've read
How about that?
Too. I've read this whole family.
Well, and you've had a nice every year. You've had a nice steady run of success with.
Well, I've bred all these. You know, I've bred that whole family. If you look, at that whole family, I started that whole family with 22,000 with Madame Laganza. I've bred all those horses.
Unbelievable! You're amazing. Here we go. Here's the catalog, and let's get up to Hip 296, and Pioneer of the Nile, and. Out of Minor
big,
Secret.
A big, strong filly. It's a big, strong filly. I mean, if she don't bring 400 or 500, I'm going to take her and ship her to Europe, you know, to send her to Michael Stout if she don't bring the money.
Huh. And I'm just, yeah, there we go. Conquest. Oh, and also, you know what? You didn't mention the other sibling, Conquest Titan.
Yeah, I bred that one, too. I bred that. I mean, that's the only stake winner that horse had. I bred all of them. You know, I bred the Cold Front. Everybody laughed at me when I bred that, but it was a perfect cross.
Look at that, and you know that. And of course, you mentioned Madame Laganza. You had Admiral Alex out of her.
Yeah, Admiral Alex Woodlander. I bred him. I bred Woodlander. I bred Azar. I bred all them horses out of that family, and they all broke their maidens at Saratoga and won stakes at Saratoga.
How did you? You know, it's funny. It's so funny, Blue, that this comes up, and I forgot that you'd be active at the sale. King Mambo.
I'm gonna talk loud because I got a head. I got a bad head called earache, and I could hardly hear.
Well, we just had Sid Fernando. We were just doing our pedigree stuff, and King Mambo came up. Madame Laganza is by King Mambo. How did you come by Madame Laganza? Because she was unraced.
I went there to buy another King Mambo out of a Seattle Sleuth horse. And that horse, you know, he went on to win the Belmont, but I could only go to 140 and sold for 200. What's the horse they win with Santos paid $56? Won the Belmont.
Oh my God.
He was by King Mambo out of Seattle Slough Mare. I knew something about the mare. What the hell is the name? Christ, he was a hell of a horse. But anyway.
Lemon Drop Kid.
I went to buy him. And the guy that runs Facey Tipton bought him for $200. So next day later, I bought this filly, Madame Laganza, for $22,000. She was a late May foal. She was a freak. I worked her one day at Belmont. But I'll tell you the story. I had her, and I was training her. And I brought her up from South Carolina. And I brought her into Pimlico, and the boy that used to gallop Willow on the Move said to me, he said, Blue, this filly's better. I said, Bobby, you've been smoking too much of that shit. He said, no, listen. So anyway, I got her fit enough to breeze her, and I breezed her one day with a real good, two good horses, two-year-olds, and she beat them by a country mile. Then she hurt herself, and I put her away. I took over Manfuso's farm. So 6 months, I'll pick her up to take her to Camden. I didn't know it was the same filly. She got so big and so much muscle. And I breezed her down at Camden. I breezed her one morning a quarter mile down there. She went 21-2, and a guy down there said he'd never seen a horse do that. So anyway, I bring her to Pimlico. Now I'm breezing her, and she's working 58 and change with Prado. So anyway, I says, well, listen, I'm going to run her at Delaware Park. I want you to give her a race because she's going to need a race. He says, no problem. So the day of the race, Steve comes over and says, we can't give her a race. There's too much filly. I says, well, I'm going to scratch her. He said, you won't get out. It was like 11:30. I went, throwed sawdust and water on her and called the vet. I says, she's colic. He says, no, you got to call the steward. So I knew the steward. He let me out. So I took her to Belmont Park, and I put Mike Luzzi on her. I said, listen, work her easy 5/8, about 101. She went 22, 44, 56, galloped out in 9. And she got sick on me. Then I started to bring her back, and she got hit by a loose horse and hurt herself. And I bred her to Hennessy and sold that one for $350. Then I bred her to Forestry, sold that one for $250. And the rest was history. Now, her two daughters, I bred those two, was Minor Secret. I sold Minor Secret to Farish for $250, then bought her back for $50,000 when they had the meltdown in 2008. And that's what happened to the whole family. But it's a freaky family.
Unbelievable. And you know, it's so funny how often you know this happens. You get a mare that is unraced or gets hurt, and you know, you got to have some vision, and you got to have some balls
money. Years ago, I told a guy, John, whatever his name, that run the big outfit for the guy that owned the football team. I said, buy all the King Mambo fillies you can get, because he's going to be a great broodmare sire, which he turned out to be.
This filly is
an Oaks filly. She's gorgeous. You ought to see her. She's gorgeous. She's big, muscled out. I mean, she's some horse. I mean, she might top the sale. That's how good looking, and by a sire. So we'll see.
Well, and you also. You also put her in the hands of our man, Kip Elser.
Well, he's been, listen, I mean, he broke the whole family. He broke the whole family, starting from Madame Lagarde on out. He broke all the horses. He's my man. He knows what he's doing.
Yes, he does. Yes, he does.
In fact, everything else, I mean, all the two daughters, Madame Lagarde, you know, I bred her to mine shift 2 years in a row, and she got those two fillies by mine, and they're both stakes producers. So you can see it runs in their family. It's a typical broodmare family. If you go down to the third and fourth dam, they threw two horses, Twilight Agenda, and refused to bend between.
Wow.
I mean, those two horses, they went 10 grade ones from 7 furlongs to 1.5 miles. It's one of the best families in the book.
Well, you're going to wish you luck. And let me think. That's going to sell. That's going to sell the first day, right?
Yeah, first day, 296.
Hip 296, and folks, you put together a couple of, you know, a couple of partnerships, and you're going to have to write some zeros. It looks like on this check.
Well, listen, obviously. I might have to come out of retirement if I don't sell her. If we don't sell her, I might just go ahead and train her, take her to Saratoga, and get her ready.
Now you're talking, and of course, you know, when we think about some of the young, you've had plenty of. Some of your best success has come with fillies and
oh, yeah.
You
Willow
think about Snowplow.
Yeah, Willow on a Move, Ski Pat. I mean, how about the filly Snowplow? Only two horses in the history of those two races, the Salima and the Demoiselle, when they were grade ones. Only two fillies ever did it, Bed of Roses and Snowplow. Rudy tried it about four times, and he could never win those two races in a row.
Well, and who?
Yeah, I never
who
forget.
Wrote?
Listen, I never forget. I broke her maiden. I broke her maiden at Saratoga. I bet $10,000 on her. She win, and I brought her down to Laurel, and I had a supplementer for the Salima. So in between races, a week ahead of time, I worked her in between the first and second races, and I worked her 7/8 a mile, and she worked in 26. So Johnny Tamara, the old man, and the old man Dutro said, whoever heard of working a horse 7/8? I said, because you fucking guys don't know. And she went on to win the race. He said, you want to be on the board? I mean, Woody had a filly called Loretta. I smoked her. I galloped on her. But anyway, just a tremendous, yeah, I had some nice fillies. But the best horse I ever had was Admiral Alex. It's a shame. A shame what happened to him, because he wouldn't. The third time he ever run, I mean, he run a 3 on the Sheets, on Ragusan Sheets. When he won the Arts and Letters, he run a 3. But this is a hell of a family, hell of a family. Now I got a what's called? I got a yearling. I got a yearling by American Pharoah out of this mare.
Really? Look at you.
I got.
You said
got
you said
colt.
You were going. That's
but anyway,
right.
the mare,
I forgot.
But anyway, the mare she aborted the other day. I mean, she was in full arrogate. They might have to put her down. So that's the end of that family.
Oh boy.
So listen, well, I listen to your radio every day, and I got a lot of things to talk to you. But you probably
go ahead.
The horse
go
deserved
ahead.
To be. Listen, the horse deserved to be taken down.
All right.
He deserved to be taken. He never stopped riding that horse. And I tell you, we're very lucky in this industry. He didn't go down one of those horses because it had been a catastrophe. It had been a catastrophe.
I hear you.
But the racing game overcomes everybody and everything because it's the greatest game played outdoors.
What about this 15 days they've given?
Listen, everybody puts these jocks on a pedestal. I don't put them on a pedestal. They put these white pants on, they become different people. Either they don't even know you when they put those white pants on. You hear me? They don't even know you. They don't even know you. Listen, they're overpaid. They're killing the business. They shouldn't get 10%. Years ago, they deserved 10% when Hartack was riding for me. The Potts Non-Winners of Two, 1973, was $4,300, and you only got $2,100. So they got 10%. Now they're making $60,000 in a couple minutes, and they want to tell you how to train your horse on top of it. But I love the game.
Oh,
let the game go on.
You're amazing. You, one thing that we've been talking about, and in fact, earlier this morning, you'll get a kick out of this. Earlier this morning, I recorded segments. You know, tomorrow I got to go to the Alibi Breakfast, and so I had to put together a recorded show. So we're going to listen to the 1980 Codex Genuine Risk Preakness, and then I interviewed Jacinto and Alan Foreman. And so everybody's going to get, you know, everything they'd want to know about the 1980 Preakness. What was your take that time when Angel and Jacinto?
It should have come down.
Should have come down. How about that?
Should have come down. Listen, you didn't even mention the right race to talk about was Ryan and Greek Money. When Matthew Yucatan was trying to, I got the picture that I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to give you the picture. The first photograph of it. I got a photograph. I'm going to give it to you. That's the one you should talk about. When your cats are claimed foul, they wind up giving him 6 months. 6 months they gave him. But then he appealed it. Then they fined him $20,000 and gave him 30 days. I mean, go watch that film sometime. You'll see what these riders do. I mean, told me he used to do that every day. He told me and Chris McCarron used to do that every day at Belmont.
Well, and you know what's funny about it is that with the guys that in this case it was Angel and Jacinto Vasquez, and they were at each other. You throw in George Velasquez too; they were at each other, you know, day in day out. It didn't have to be.
Oh, absolutely. They rode hard. Well, Cordero's one of the greatest. You know, he's sure. One of the greatest riders in the world. I mean, he's in the top, you know, top of all of them. I mean, those three riders, they're as good as anybody ever jumped on a horse. They're top riders. They did everything to win a race.
I'm going to read you because you brought it up. And I know a couple of years ago I happened to have mentioned that 1962 Preakness, you're mentioning Greek Money and Rydan, and it was a pretty eventful three-year-old classic season for Rydan, who, of course, would later hook up with Jaipur in arguably the greatest shoulder-to-shoulder race anyone will ever see. Unbelievable. Greek Money gained a prominent position in the run to the first turn, was restrained off the pace for three quarters, rallied boldly along the inside, entering the stretch to catch Rydan, and outgamed that one in a prolonged drive, a claim of foul against the winner by the rider of the second horse, Raydan, for alleged interference in the stretch was not allowed.
That's right. Imagine you catch it. But I tell you one thing, he was some rider. I tell you, Greek Money was some nice horse. In fact, I borrowed $400 to bet on him. He paid $27.
$2380.
Yeah, I bet on the horse because he, I mean, he went to Pimlico Prep about, you know, 3 or 4 weeks ahead of, and Buddy Raines trained the horse. I like that. He was a very nice horse. Very nice horse.
Blue, as always, the only thing wrong today is that you're not sitting here with me in that little office where I do this from. And we had so much fun the last time you joined me and you were down for the sale. That I think we were lucky, right? Because the Breeze show got postponed because of the weather. That's right. That's right. Let's fold in our most treasured part of the conversation. And you got to give everybody the crab cake recipe. There's some people that are coming
this year.
Here's what
you got to do. You got to
go ahead.
Listen, you got to get the back fin lump. That's $42 a pound now. $42 a pound. But that's nothing to us racegoers. We spend our money like it's water. Now you take a pound of crab meat. You dump it out. You loosen it up real good. You take you take the crackers.
The club crackers.
Yeah, the club crackers. You take everything, I mean, a loose feel except for you crush them up, and you take one egg and beat it up real good. Take 2 tablespoons of mayonnaise and 1 tablespoon of the mustard, and you mix it up real good, and you put it there, and you mix it up just carefully, and you pat them real good. And you put some of that flavoring that you put in over them, and you put them in the fridge there for an hour so they set up real good. And you can either broil them or deep fry them. Now, if you got a little deep fryer with peanut oil, they really taste good if you deep fry them. But for the people that try to watch their weight, they gotta broil them.
No, this is a treat. You can't you don't worry about you don't worry about your weight when it comes to
listen,
this.
Listen, nothing like the crabs. Listen, you know, well, these people talk about Joe Stone crabs. You couldn't give me one. I wouldn't eat them. It ain't nothing like the Merlin crab. those things smell like dead fish. Are you kidding me? Where's the quarter, Joe Stone crabs? You couldn't get them to me. But listen, I listen to your show. You know, I really like your show. The guy from up in California, what's his name?
Hammer.
The guy is, once in a while, he's a steward, and he writes comedy. He calls you every day.
Oh, John White. John White.
What?
Yeah,
John
White.
Man, I love his stories. I love his stories. I got to get together with him one day and break a couple. I'll tell him some stories. He'll break his mind.
No doubt about it. You've been doing that for me for years. And you know what? It occurs to me. I drove by Saratoga the other day. Tina and I were in the car. What are they going to do with you guys at Saratoga? They built this new building. They built it right over your tent.
Well, I just have to find another spot, but I'm going up June the 1st. I'm heading up there. I'll be at Saratoga. I'll be clocking horses from June all the way till September. Then from September, then I'm going back to Europe. But I'm not going to New York this year. I'm going to the Champion Day at Ascot.
Nice, nice, nice. In the fall.
So
sweet.
Looking forward at it.
Well, but you're not going to, don't you want to go, you know, you went to the Arc, though, at Chantilly. What about the new Longchamp?
I was there last year.
Oh, okay, so you did go to the new
I was there last year. It cost me $1,600 for one day up in the top deck, $1,600 a ticket, $3,200 it cost me, and then it was $500 for Saturday down below. So, you know,
nice.
But it was worth every penny. It had great food, and it was, you know, scintillating to be at Longchamps. It just took my breath away. I was at Chantilly 2 years in a row, but Longchamps is something special. especially that filly. I can't see how that filly wasn't voted the filly of the year here in the United States. They gave it to, you know, some other filly. The horse wins the Ark and comes back and wins the Breeders' Cup, and they don't make her the champion. Come on. Come on.
You're talking about Engage. I don't know, Blue. I struggled with that. I'm not a fan of the one start in North America. It just doesn't.
Yeah, but
it doesn't light me up.
Second year, 2 years in a row, and she's coming back this year. She's training good.
I know.
She's coming back to New York.
I know.
Well, listen, you're entitled to your opinions. You're entitled to your opinions. I'm not knocking it. I'm just saying what I'm saying. It don't have to be right. You guys, I don't know where y'all get that. I'll tell you something. That filly, her appearance just takes them all away. She's one of the best-looking fillies I've ever seen. Gorgeous filly.
Yeah, it's gorgeous, an enable.
Went to New York 2 years in a row, beat the Colts. Phenomenal.
Well, and she's coming back for another one.
Who's your Preakness pick?
I got to tell you, I want to see how they line up, Blue, because I was very excited about betting the Maryland bred, about always mining the Stay Thirsty.
I hope he's got to get the inside post. He'll get the inside outside post at Pinnacle. Ain't worth a quarter.
Well, and you can explain that to people. We've tried to, Tony, I brought it up with Tony Black to explain to people, and you can reiterate it, how if you're on the other side of the crown, you're in trouble.
Absolutely. You got to be down the inside of Pimlico. There's sharp turns. You got to save ground. You got to save ground. But there'll be a listen. There's a lot of speed, but I see a lot of speed. So you might have some big numbers. But I'll tell you what, they took me down for a lot of money. I had a $2. Listen, I had a $2 super. I had a $20 exacta and a $5 triple. They took me down for a lot of money.
Oof. You're saying a derby.
Yeah, the Derby. Yeah, it took me down because I used three horses on top, and I boxed a lot of horses, and I just played stupid. I should have had the thing. But anyway, that's past. Let me go on to the next tune.
Now we're counting on you. Who do you like? What do you think?
I like Cassie's horse, and I like Baffert's horse. I'm going to make a good exacta box there.
Keep it simple.
You got to get the inside. You got to get the inside.
Blue, a lot of people are trying to figure out a way to avoid improbable Baffert's horse, and they say that he had no excuse. I mean, it felt to me like he was kind of bottled up and really never had a chance to run.
He could never listen. He kept on checking the whole backside. He was checking and turning for home. All he did was checking. He had no place. He had a legitimate excuse. That takes a lot out of horse when you keep on checking and all that mud flying. No, he'll run a very improved race. Both those horses will run good.
Well, they're the two top.
Cassie's horse. Yeah. If he puts him on a lead, I don't see he can. He could have been on the lead in the Derby, and he kept on grabbing a hold of him.
Well, he had. Yeah, he also. It's funny you say that because I had Mark on last week, and he was very upset and was getting, was getting really worked up over the way people were characterizing Tyler and his ride. And I absolutely said that. The place that Gaffleone ultimately tried to go contributed to, the whole circumstance. It's just unfortunate that when he went to go to pass, that was the exact moment that Maximum Security starts to get out. But you could see on the backstretch, there was one point where I thought Gaffleone can go up inside the leader here. And he thought about it. You could see. Right?
I see the same thing. But I tell you, not to take you off the thing. But no. I thought to come up, something must have happened to Sugar McGee's horse because he made the lead. He made a bold run. I don't know if he choked up or something, but he looked like a dead winner. He made a big run. That horse, he's not supposed to stop at the quarter pole.
No.
Something made him stop because he made a bold move. He looked like the winner from there. He made a bold move.
Then he got his head in front. He's got the call. He's got the stretch. He's the leader at the stretch call.
Yeah, exactly. He made a bold move. I thought he was going to gallop. I would have hit it too. I would have hit it then because I used three horses on top. I used him, the winner, and I used Baffert's horse.
So you went improbable, Coda Bonner, maximum.
Well, I liked improbable, but the horse I really like, I was going to take the rubber band off. I loved Omaha Beach.
Yeah.
I mean, to me, he looked like he was going to be a Triple Crown winner. I see him as a big-time horse, big-time horse. I ain't seen too many horses in my lifetime do what he did in the Arkansas Derby, laying fifth and moving from the three-quarter pole to the four-and-a-half, and he's three on top, and he's laying fifth 4 or 5 lengths off of it. Takes a good horse to make those kind of moves.
Stuff's flying in here. Every time you come on, it comes out of the woodwork. And you mentioned John White. John sent a thank you to you, Blue, and he acknowledged also that Snowplow was a favorite of his. She was the first Washington bred to ever win a great one.
That's right. I mean, she wins two great ones.
She was a nice filly.
But from two to three, she never matured. She went up straight up. She never muscled out. I never could put any muscle on her. And I took her to New Bolton Center and everything, trying to find out.
I'm also going to throw at you. You mentioned Omaha Beach and of all the bad times to entrap. You couldn't pick a worse opportunity, but he'll be back. He had the procedure, and in fact, he's probably pretty close to getting back into training.
Go ahead, Steve. I'm sorry.
Not at all. How impressed were you, or what was your reaction to the job that Tom Amos did on Friday with Serengeti Empress?
Oh, tremendous, tremendous, tremendous horse trainer, tremendous guy, class act. He's good for the game, like you are. Yeah, most of the guys in the business are class acts anyway. Baffert and all them guys, they're nice people. They're out to win, but they're nice people. Nice to talk to. Nice to see them. They do a great job, all these guys. Chad Brown, Pletcher, and all of them. They all do great jobs with horses. They know what they're doing. Guys are sharp guys. Sharp guys.
Omaha
Beach. I think he's a notch above all these horses. That's only my opinion.
No, hopefully he gets his chance in the second half of the season and going forward. And certainly, Rick Porter, the right kind of guy to keep campaigning. He'll let this horse fulfill its his opportunity long term.
I'll tell you a story about Rick Porter one day. Zito had a horse for him. I'll tell you the story. We made one of the biggest scores ever.
Listen to the larceny in that laugh, folks.
The name of the game is BET. Bet. If you don't bet, get the hell out of the game. Get the hell out of the game. You don't bet, get the hell out of here. We don't need you. There's no show. You got to put your money up. You think you're good and you think you can get the source home? Put it up.
Exactly.
Opinions are like bullshit. It's always around.
you got to tell another story because John Parada knows that, and as I do, and you go back a few years because I think you have told this, and I've certainly referenced it myself because of my relationship with Del Carroll II, but you made a big score on BBB.
Oh, yeah, when he beat Riva Ridge, I bet out on him. Eldon Nelson rode him. Never forget it on the Preakness. I'll tell you about John Parada. He got me to that horse De Heer when he was closed up. I bred a mare to that horse. He was a good horse, De Heer. He's one. I mean, he was working for the people that owned the horse then.
Absolutely was, and was instrumental. But you told the BBB story, and I heard it from Dell, from Red Carroll's son, they came back what in a week because they saw how wet it was going to be. The forecast was for nothing but rain, and yeah. he was a freak in the on the wet track, just a complete freak. And Riva Ridge,
well, you know where he broke his maiden? You know where he broke his maiden? Timonium.
right, there you go, right there. Speaking of Timonium, I had Sal Sinatra on Monday. There's a real possibility, depending on what happens with this facility, there's a real chance that Bowie is gonna be kind of resurrected.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, Bowie, I made some major hits there. I made some major hits. Major hits. I love that track. Oh, Bowie, boy. Loved it. I loved it. I love Maryland Racing. Maryland Racing, I go back a long time to Maryland Racing, I've seen it all. I've seen Seabiscuit and War Admiral.
Yep.
I was only seven or 8 years. That was 1930. I was 7 years old seeing that horse. And I've seen Top Four. I've seen Capade. I've seen some of the greatest horses ever run right there at Pimlico. The Pimlico Special was a great race at one time. They had a walkover, in fact. The Top Four had a walkover at the Pimlico Special, I think. I remember.
What's your opinion about keeping the Preakness in the city?
Listen, I'm biased. Listen, it'll never work at Laurel. Laurel sucks. Laurel sucks. The food is bad. It sucks. I was there on Maryland Million Day. They had 21,000. You couldn't even move. It sucks. It sucks. Tell anybody. Listen, you ruined the tradition. Tradition is Pimlico, Belmont, and Churchill. That's the triple crown. When you go to Laurel, it's garbage. Garbage. To close Laurel down, make a new Pimlico, and they would handle more people. People from that district, they don't want to go to the track there. People from Baltimore want to go to the track. You have it at Pimlico. Yeah. Get all the days at Pimlico. Screw Laurel. Sucks.
I hear you.
I don't care what they're trying to listen. They all know what they're doing. But I'll tell you one thing. They're making a mistake. They're making a mistake. When they try to tell me that they're going to move Pimlico to Laurel, it's going to be better. That's bullshit. They can tell it to some greenhorn, but I've been around too long. Pimlico is where the Preakness belongs. No other place. And anybody knows anything about racing and tradition, the Triple Crown is built around tradition. I mean, take Churchill running at Keeneland, see if it's the same race.
Yeah.
No yep. way.
You're not going to get an argument from me.
Steve, it's one thing. I'll tell you one thing. Hey, listen, you're another guy. Now, another guy makes me laugh is Steve Haskin. When he told that story about his brother to the cemetery or something. I can't believe it. This guy Haskin. He's a walking genius. He's a great, a super guy. I love to hear him talk with you, man. I'll tell you, you guys,
that was one,
I can't wait to get the radio voice.
That was a classic. That was a classic.
Now, let me ask you something about getting a radio that serious, because I can't get it. I got to go to my car to get it. How do I get a radio so I can get serious?
In the house, you mean, or you can get it on your phone. You can do it any which way. You can have Sirius.
I got one of those dumb phones. I got a flip top. I don't have one of them phones you wise guys have.
That's unbelievable. You're selling Yearlings for $600,000, and you can't get yourself a smartphone.
Well, listen, hold it. It ain't the money. I got a shaky right hand. I lost so much photographs. My hand shakes. That's 88 years catching up to me. I can't hear. I tried to do it.
You're the greatest. Unbelievable. Just unbelievable. I will. We will get you figured out. We'll get you. We'll figure out a way to.
Well, listen. I love your show. I listen to the repeats and everything. I love it. You do a great job for racing. And all the people you have on, they're very knowledgeable. Because ain't nobody knows blood better than me. I don't care who they are. I've done bred 4 grade 1 winners. And I'm going to have the 5th with Cold Front's going to win the 5th one. He's either going to win the mile or is he going to win the Whitney. He's a cinch for the Whitney. Nobody will beat him going a mile and 8th. Because the horse is bred, he's bred on paper to a mile and a quarter. I bred the horse. He's an impeccably bred horse. And he'll make a great stallion. A great stallion.
That's going to be a war, Blue. That is going to be so nice.
Listen, it's probably going to be one of the, like, what's the guy you had on the other day? I mean, it's going to probably be one of the greatest mile races we've seen in a long, long time.
Yep. The makings are there.
You're going to have speed. You're going to have horses charging. But, you know, years ago, most of the time, that race is usually run with horses coming from off of it. You know, I remember I was around Fappiano. I jumped on a plane to ride up there to watch him, and I bet 800. That's my lucky bet. I bet 800 on Fappiano. He went to Met Mount. I think he paid $15 or something dollars like that, but I bet 800 on him. He got Johnny Neighbor's horse.
Blue, you're in the bridle today. We got you rolling.
Well, listen, all I can tell your fans, tell all your guys that like to buy horses, don't let 296 get away from them. If they want a classic horse, they better go get 296 because she's the best filly in the sale. She's got the pedigree. She's got everything.
Hip 296, everybody. Go get it. Go get it, Blue.
All right, Steve, listen. It's been a little bit of heaven talking to you, brother.
You're the greatest. Everybody loves hearing from you. Leon Blushewicz, everybody, the great Blue.
Hey, wait a minute.
And,
it's Blue,
yeah.
Listen, it's Blushewicz. Blushewicz.
Blushewicz. What's wrong with that pronunciation?
It's very good because you sound like my grandmother pronouncing that name.
Unbelievable. One and only Blue, everybody. And I will make sure to publish, I will republish the crab cake recipe because everybody says, and as Blue calls it, the best you ever ate crab cake. We're going to be having them Friday night, Blue. We'll be at Prime Rib. We'll go over to see Buzz.
Hey, what you call Buzz is in bad shape. You know, he's got Alzheimer's real bad. He didn't even know.
No.
It's been that way since October, November. It broke my heart.
I had not heard this.
One of the greatest guys you ever met in your whole life. He don't even know who I am, Steve. It's just heartbreaking. I know him for 60 years. We never had one cross word. I must have won 25 or 30 stakes for him. Nice man. High-class individual.
Oh, that's a tragedy.
But anyway, I don't want to hold up your lot of important people you got probably standing behind me.
I wouldn't interrupt this for anything. Too much fun, guys.
In fact, he's got 2 horses with Rudy now. You know, he's got that colt Zorbed, and he's got Orbed. He's got 2 horses, so. But I can't do nothing for him. That's what hurts me. I can't do nothing to help him. That's what hurts me.
Oh, that's tough. We wish him the best. He's your. In fact, somebody just asked me how old are you right now, these days?
Who, me?
Yeah.
88. And Buzz.
88. That's what I thought. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Buzz is 80. Yeah. I'm 88, but I'm hanging in there, Steve. I'll tell you one thing. I miss getting up to see the horses, but. I'll be doing that every day come June 1st because I'll be at Saratoga.
Yeah, we're going to have a fun summer.
3 months.
We'll get together. We'll have a fun summer. And best of luck on Monday with Hip 296. And
All right, Steve. I'll let you go, pal. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
Blue, best performance ever. The greatest. Blue, good luck.
Have a good day, young man.
Thank you, buddy. You're the greatest.
All right,
unbelievable.
Right, bye.
How about that, folks? There you go. 45 minutes of Blue, and I what can you say? What can you say? You got vintage Leon on every topic. Let's take a break, and we got an hour left. We got a third hour because we went 9:15 to 12:15 today. It's taken me 2 hours to get into that whole mode. Seth Merrow is going to join us and more back after this.